Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. This week we have a special Haftorah coming up, which it's very important. Certain Haftorahs were designated because they prepare you for the holiday that's coming up. And we're in a cycle. And the first part of the cycle was with the Purim, which is really joy, because that's the primary thing. There's a concept that we serve Hashem with joy, like that. That's one of the very important aspects of Judaism. The fact there are certain groups of Hasidim that emphasize joy, you know, like trying to, and it's real important. Rabbi Feinstein, who was the leading rabbi in the U.S. For like 30, 40 years, he was here when a lot of Jews assimilated, and he felt the primary reason was, he said that the old generation, they kept it all, but they kvetched about it. They'd say, "Oi, you know, it's hard to be a Jew." In Europe, that was like, you would hear that from, in America, all the old people would say, you know, the expression, "Schwer zu sein Yid," you know, it's schwer, it's difficult. And so the kids weren't interested in anything difficult, you know, who needs that? You know, it's so hard to, and the old people, they would, Pesach was hard and kosher was hard, and they were bragging about it because to them it had value. But sometimes the next generation, they say, "If it's so hard, why do you do it? I don't need this." And so he felt that they didn't emphasize that it's good to be a Jew. It's wonderful that I'm so happy that the joy part, the joy aspect of it. That was just interesting because that was his perspective, because he would hear all the older people kvetching. But they kvetched, but they weren't saying that they didn't want to do it. They felt it was worthwhile, but it was just part of a certain generation where they like to kvetch, you know. It's nothing wrong with kvetching, but it's just kids. Sometimes they don't, you tell them, "Oh, it was so high, I was cooking all night, I was cleaning all," you know, and you tell them that, and they say, "Well, what do you need it for? Who needs this?" They're not interested in making a Seder, they're not interested in doing, because they don't understand why the work is worth it. But the beginning of the season of redemption starts with joy. That's the Purim message, that's the Adar message. But there are other parts of getting ready for Pesach. Pesach is redemption. And one of those parts is known as purity, purifying oneself. And it's a little bit complicated explaining what purity is, because it's not a, some people identify it with being clean, and there's no question that there's a similarity there. We believe when a person does a sin that they become dirty in a certain way, that their soul becomes dirty. The same way the body becomes dirty if you step in the mud and you get a stain, when a person does something wrong, it makes an impression on their soul. It takes away something. There is a feeling sometimes when you meet a person that's very pure and holy, you can feel that. And when you meet a person that has a lot of blood on their hands, sometimes you can also sense that. You don't know, you know, you meet a person and you say, "That person, there's something about him that really rubs me," you know, that, and then you find out, "Oh, well, he's a mass murderer, or he did this, or he did that," you know.
I forgot to tell you,
right. It's interesting, by the way, one of the reasons that we all love children, little children, is because they have no sins. They're not smart enough, they don't have the intellect to have done something wrong. And so, even though they're little, they can spit on us, they can make a mess. Oh, they're so cute. Why? But because they have a purity, because there's nothing that they've done wrong. There's nothing. Even what's interesting is even people with special needs, also, they can't do anything wrong because they don't have a capability. But there's a certain charm there when you meet them, because they're not capable of hate or bad or evil. They just, you know, and so that's why when you meet a person like that, you just can, you, it's easier to, but sometimes a person, when they've done something wrong, they carry it with them. Or we
Down syndrome children, I use a very sweet Down syndrome children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Down syndrome, right. It's the same, but that has, my opinion or something that I've seen, is one of the reasons that they have that sweetness is they're not tainted at all by sin. They have no ability to do wrong, and so how can you not love somebody like that, you know? Whereas we have made a lot of mistakes in our life, And we try to clean up from our mistakes. We try to wash the and we believe that Hashem created a world where we can get rid of our mistakes. And right, in fact, that we believe that people make mistakes and that we're created to get up from our mistakes and fix it. And so getting rid of the taint of making mistakes, that's called purity. And the biggest mistake we made as a people was at the golden calf. That was the, as a people, like right after we got to Torah, we blew it. Right away, we, you know, Moshe was late in coming down, and then we panicked, and we went back to what they were doing in Egypt, and we put up a golden calf. And therefore, you know, the purification process is done with the calf, with a cow. That's the paraduma. Mm-hmm. And this week's Haftorah, the special Haftorah, is called the Haftorah for Parshas Parah. It's for the Haftorah for the purification, which is done with the cow. Generally speaking, if a person has done something wrong, they try to do the fix is with the same thing they've done something wrong. In other words, if they've done something wrong to another person, they try to make it up to that person. So too, with if we sinned with a cow, we try to fix it with a cow. But here's the description. Vahid Dvar Hashem, and this is Yechezkel, or Ezekiel. Ezekiel was very mystical. You remember, he was the one who had the dry bones prophecy. And in fact, that prophecy is close by over here to the chapter that we're reading. And he was there at the time when the Jewish people, towards the end, by the when they were seeing destruction, but he saw that there would be a future. And he was able to, he predicted that just like the dry bones came back to life, the Jewish people will come back to life. We have the ability to purify ourselves. In other words, even though we have mistakes and we have sin, we can purify ourselves. So the word of Hashem came to him saying, Ben Adam, and that's always his nickname, the Son of Man. We've talked about this before because I think we've had one or two afterwards with, the question is why that nickname, Son of Man? Some people say that it's a positive thing. Adam was the first man, the handiwork of God. And so we are all the children of the handiwork of God. Other people say that it means that we're flesh and blood, like we're all human. You know, Adam comes from the word Adama, from the ground. You know, so that we're descended from the original man. And just like the original man made mistakes, and we shouldn't get hung up. Sometimes people, they make a mistake and they think they're done, they're finished. It's the opposite. That's part of being alive, is that you make mistakes and you fix them. That's what we're created for. So we are Ben Adam. We are the Son of Man. We are creatures that are created from people that, you know, we ate from the tree. And then, but that's fine. We're put into the world to fix that. So the Son of Man, Beis Yisrael Yoshma Masam, when the Jewish people, now this is the thing, that when we were in our land, we got corrupted. Towards the end, the Jewish people were worshiping idols. Not only that, there was bloodshed. People were being killed. It's sometimes difficult to know, for us, if even one person is killed, that's too much. So it's difficult to know numbers. Now, sometimes there's like a criticism, like even the golden calf was really only a small amount of the people, but because it was tolerated, it was considered a big sin. So when it says that there was a lot of bloodshed, it's hard to know what a lot is. If even one person was killed, or were many people killed, or did people not respect human life? Did they not respect human dignity? You know, that all goes in there. But when the Jewish people were on the land, they contaminated the land, bidarcham, with their ways, bulilosam. Now, it says over here that he says that it's an impurity. We have different levels of impurity. It's interesting. It compares it to the impurity of a woman who's when she's menstruating, Haisa Darkum Lefanai, which most people say that this is not a real impurity. It just means that there are certain times where people are not together, and then when that time ends, then they come together again. And so,
but it's a death.
That's because, right, that's correct. In other words, that means that the ability to give birth to a child finishes, and then right. But the concept, though, is that the Jewish people, there are certain times that we have to distance ourselves from Hashem, who is our spouse, and then there, just like the Nida, it's a certain time where there was a certain time where we had an intimate relationship with Hashem in, you know, in the Beis Hamikdash and his land and his intense presence, and we're together. And then there are other times throughout the exile where we are distanced from Hashem, where we're not, we don't enjoy that very close relationship, but it's just temporary, and it's part of a regular life cycle that you have more intimate times and less intimate time, but it's still, we still have that relationship with Hashem. And so it's interesting that it makes that comparison of the Tuma Sanida Haisadarkum Lefana. The Christians or the other religions wanted to say that maybe your God at one time picked you, but he rejected you. In other words, he threw you away and now he picked us, right? Or the, but really what he's saying over here is no, that, that we sinned and we had a temporary impurity. We had an impurity, we lost our ability to create or whatever, and there was a distance. But Ketumah Sanida, it's just like a husband and wife. It's just a normal part of life that there'll be days that we are closer and there are days that we're less close. That, but that's our relationship with Hashem also. But it doesn't, we weren't thrown out of the house. It wasn't that Hashem separated from us. It just meant that we, there are certain times in our history where we aren't as religious or connected to the divine presence as we would like to be. Verse 18. And therefore, Hashem said, because we caused us to be distant from him, he will pour his anger on us, al adam asher shafku, because we had spilled blood, al oretz bugleim tumu. It's interesting, the Gemara mentions the famous story that not that could be that there were people that were killed, but it also mentions that people were embarrassed publicly and people weren't sensitive to it. And there's the idea that when you could shame a person, that's like spilling blood. That's like if you just not sensitive to people's feelings, especially in public, that's considered like a very severe thing. And so Hashem said, when you were on my land, you weren't sensitive to one another. So verse 19, what did he do? Now again, Yecheskel said this prophecy when we were still in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, "Ba'afitzo sambagoyim, I'm going to spread you out amongst the nations." By Yizoro, by artist, and you'll be like spread out. And you could never imagine, like today, you go all over the world, you find Jews, you know, and they're like everywhere. They're like winnowed, like they're like, you know, in the most unusual places, you'll find Jewish communities. And Hashem, this was part of our judgment to fix and purify ourselves, is that we go through this living a distance from Eretz Yisrael. Verse 20, V'yavo ala goyim esher bosham. And the Jews came to these countries, V'yichal l'shem kodshi. And you profaned my name, you made a chilul Hashem. Because the Be'emor lehem, Am Hashem, you say you're the nation of Hashem, so if you're the nation of Hashem, why are you being punished? Why are you kicked out of your land? Amar tzo yavo. 21, V'echmal l'shem kodshi. And Hashem says, I will take pity on my holy name, Asher chilul that they have profaned. Beis Yisrael Goyim, the nation of Israel amongst the nations, Asher Bo Shamo, that they have come. 22. L'chein Amar Lo Beis Yisrael, thus Hashem says to the house of Israel, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Lo Leman Chaniyosa Beis Yisrael. And this is important too. It doesn't sound great. I would wish that we could say that we are really just so great that Hashem has got to save us. But Hashem is saying that it could be we won't deserve it, but he's going to do it for his sake. In other words, even if we don't, we wish it that we get it all perfect and we become the great, wonderful people and Hashem will take us out of the exile because we've really fixed all our sins. But Hashem says, even if you don't fix all of your sins, I won't do it necessarily for your sake, but for the sake of a nation of Hashem, Hashem will redeem us.
Do you think this goes back to when with Moshe, when he wanted to destroy everyone, he said, I'll make you a new people. And Moshe said, what's everyone going to think about
right,
you?
Right, that's yeah. Right, that's right, yeah.
I think he's
right.
Remembering that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that Hashem forgets. But.
Right, sometimes we get frustrated because we don't see ourselves fixing all the problems that exist in the Jewish world or in the world as a whole. And so you might say, well, how's it? Eventually Hashem says that he's going to redeem us for the sake of his name, meaning that the ultimate purpose would be nice if we could teach the world how to be better people and we could teach ourselves and our communities and really fix everything. But even if we don't, Hashem at some point will bring the redemption in order for the sake of teaching the world about his name, that we've come. 23, I will sanctify my name, who, Bayom, on that day that you have profaned it. Yadu Hagoyim, and not only will you know, but all the nations will know, on page 12, 17 at the top. Ki ni Hashem, nu Hashem, this is what I bekachi bechem, and I will sanctify myself. Now this is what's going to happen. Verse 24. Lachati eskem minagoyim. The first part of the redemption, which we're actually living through now, is that people are coming back to the land of Israel. Hashem says, I will pick you up, I will take you, the kibatzti, and I will gather you from all the lands, ve'veskam eskem to el hadmaskam. And this is very significant because we started coming back. There are Jews from Ethiopia, there are Jews from Russia, there are Jews from America, there are Jews from all over the world are coming back to Israel. And you'll notice that's the first step, is to come back. Let's get everybody back. Now what's interesting was that there were some people were afraid that if some of the initial people that were in Israel were communists. The original kibbutzim, they were very influenced by the communist socialist doctrine of everybody sharing and everybody living together communally. And a lot of the communists didn't believe in religion. So people were saying, how could we go back and live like in a kibbutz and not have the Jewish religion? Why should we do that? And there were many rabbis who felt, look, let's get everybody back and then we'll worry about it. In other words, first let's get back. The order is go to Israel. Once you're in Israel, then they'll sprinkle you, we'll get you all straightened out.
And it's so, working, because the kibbutzim, their purpose is gone.
Yes, that's so correct. Yeah, it's amazing too, but correct.
And the religious, or the more traditional, are growing.
Are blossoming. Okay, that's correct. So the first step was everybody's got to go back to the land, and then the next step will be to purify them. And again, this is part of the process that we undergo before anybody brings the Pesach offering. The Pesach offering is our honeymoon, is our connection with Hashem. And before we do that, we purify ourselves, and we remove any impurity or anything that would contaminate us or make us not fit to have the Passover service. Now, the way this was done, 25, was that Hashem says, I'm going to sprinkle on you the pure waters, and I'm going to purify you mikol tumosechem, from anything impure, mikol gululechem, and any kind of idols, any kind of false ideas, any kind of false religions, atareskem, and I'm going to purify you. So now, this is interesting, verse 26, Hashem says, I'm going to give you a heart transplant. So, I heard this on one of Rabbi Wein's tape, and he was saying that when you used to read about this, you know, for 1,000 years, if somebody said, I'll give you a heart transplant, you would say that's a funny metaphor because there is no such thing. It's like saying, I'll give you a brain transplant. You know, throughout history, when you would read this idea that I'm going to take out your old heart, which is stopped up and hard, and the arteries are hardened, and I'm going to give you a new one that's soft and the arteries work, I would have said, what kind of you can't do that. They could, 1,000 years ago, they couldn't pull out a heart, and once the heart was out, the person was dead. That was it. But today, we live in a time where you actually can do heart transplants. So like today, for all those years when they learned this, they said, what a funny metaphor to use a heart transplant. You can't do it. Today you could do it. And that's exactly what it is. The old heart is hard and the new heart is soft. So it's so interesting how sometimes it could take you 1,000 years to really understand what the prophet means, but today it rings very true. There was a story. There was a famous rabbi named Rabbi Simcha Wasserman, who was he was one of the original rabbis on the West Coast who built the Jewish community in L.A. And then he was a Holocaust survivor. And he very special person. It's worth talking about him at some other point just because he was very unique and very special. He founded many institutions in his lifetime. But they noticed that he got called up to do the Haftorah in Parshas Parah. And when he read about this next line, he started crying about the heart transplant. And it didn't sound, the students were baffled, like, what, why was it, he, you know, with somebody, you know, you read the Haftorah, occasionally there are very moving Haftorahs where you'll catch, if the reader knows what he's reading, it'll be hard, it's moving. So, but the question was, what made him cry about the next line over here? Let's read it. Nasati l'cha, I'll give you a new heart, v'ruach hadash, I'll give you a new spirit, Vasi rosias leva evan, and I'll remove your heart of stone from your flesh. V'nisati lechem lev basa. I'll give you a new soft one, brand new heart that's a heart of flesh. That's what he's. So they were trying to figure out what made him cry. Like, why did he have trouble reading that verse? So somebody got the guts to ask him. And this is what he told them. He said that he was a Holocaust survivor, and the vast majority of everybody he knew were butchered. And he saw it. He was there, and he saw people killed. And he said that there's no way he could survive or live another minute if his heart didn't get hard. In other words, how could a person continue living when they saw their loved ones killed, when they saw them tortured, when they saw, like, it's mind-boggling. If a person is a sensitive, caring person and they saw the things that I saw, he said, there's just no way I could continue living with the experiences that I had. But Hashem somehow hardened my heart. He allowed people to survive and continue. There are people that have lived through awful things and terrible things, and somehow they're able to not focus on that and continue. Life has to go on. And so he said that he's always felt like his heart turned to stone because he lived through such tragedies. And when he reads that he's going to get his soft heart back, it makes him break up and makes him cry. That was his... It's just an interesting take. Like, you never think about that. But there is the idea that we get a new heart. The heart is the. Sometimes we feel that we become too tainted. Like we've seen too many things and we stop caring, or we're just. We've been through a lot, and so the idea that we need to get a new heart. We need a new, nice, soft heart. A heart that's not going to be. You know, it's going to be sensitive and caring and moved, and we won't be tainted by having seen too much. Or sometimes a person's been taken advantage of, or a person has tried too many times to do things, and nothing happens, so they give up trying, and their heart is turned to stone. And Hashem says, "Don't worry, I'll give you a new heart. No problem." Okay. Verse 27. Not only will I give you a new heart, I'll give you a new spirit. Vesruchi etem bekirichem. And I'll give you a new spirit. I'll give you my spirit. I'll give it to you inside. Vasise es asher b'chuki telechu. And you'll be able to follow in my ways. Mishpatei tishmeru vasisem. So this purification will get a change. We'll be able to become like a new person. 28. V'yashavtem ba'aretz. And you'll be able to dwell in the land. You'll be able to live in the land that I've given to your forefathers. And you will be my special people. And I'll be your God. I will have a personal relationship with you. 29. And I will save you from all the impure things, from all the bad habits, from all the things that have clung to you. I've called to the, the question is, how are you going to pay for all this? Hashem says, that's no problem. We'll pay for all this. How are they going to make it in the land of Israel? Hashem says, I'm going to call out to the grain. You won't starve. The British during World War II, they claimed that they couldn't let more refugees go there because the land couldn't support more people. So therefore, we had to die in the concentration camps and the... But that's what they said, and they did studies that said, well, the land, there's not enough water there, and the land can't support more than they just can't support more people. And Hashem says, when the time comes, we'll go back to the land of Israel, and don't worry, you won't starve. We'll make sure that there'll be plenty of abasias priorits. Hashem will increase. And again, you go there today, you see it. You see things that are growing that haven't grown there for hundreds, some in some cases thousands of years. The land is growing again, it's flourishing again. And you shouldn't have to starve and have hunger amongst the nations. Verse 31. And you should remember to avoid the bad ways that you had. Here it just says there's bad ways and there are ways that were not good. you will feel bad because of those things that you have done in your past. Verse 32. Even if you're not worthy and it's not for your sake, but a person, the purpose of this is really to be a message to the world. Eventually, the world that's strayed from the right path will be brought back to the right path. Because people will be embarrassed for some of the things that they've done. 33. Embarrassment, though, is a good thing. We view embarrassment as a person is part of the process. If a person is embarrassed of their deeds, then they're forgiven. It says that when King Saul had been trying to contact Samuel, so he tried to bring him up in a seance, if you remember, and he was embarrassed to mention the Kohanim because he knows that he had goofed. When David HaMelech was running away, he was hungry and he needed food, and he stopped by one of the cities of Kohanim to get food, and King Saul was afraid that the Kohanim were in cahoots with David to do a coup and take over the government. So Shaul HaMelech had wiped out that city of Nov, and he was embarrassed of it, and the Gemara says that because he was embarrassed of it, he was eventually able to be forgiven for that sin, even though he murdered people. You know, like, it's hard, how do you get forgiven for murder, you know? But embarrassment is not a negative thing, it's a positive. If a person feels bad about something, that means that Hashem is enabling him to overcome it. Kol Amar Hashem B'Yom Tari, this is what Hashem says on the day that I purify you from all of your sins. You'll resettle the cities of Nivnu Achrevus, and you'll rebuild destroyed cities. 34. And the land that was empty, used to be totally empty, now it's going to start to be full. It's going to be like a place, a garden. It's very interesting, you know, what we call heaven in Hebrew is typically called Gan Eden. But the real, it means a kind of garden. A garden is a very beautiful place, you know, like to be in a garden where things are growing. And it's just interesting that that's the metaphor for heaven, is being in Gan Eden. When a person's in a garden and they, you know, things are growing and they're fresh and they're good, and there's a certain feeling of, I just stress it because the spring is coming, and there's a spiritual component of the spring about just seeing things growing, and but it's just interesting that the word for heaven is, if you remember, the word for hell was that place where they were killing the little children, the Gehenim, Gei Menhinim, right? But the metaphor for Gan Eden, for heaven, is a Garden of Eden where everything is growing in full bloom, and, you know, hopefully, like, on the next day, you know, when things are blooming and you see growth and you see the beautiful world that we live in. Va'arim Achrevos, and these empty cities that were empty, Va'arasos, but Suras Yoshu, now they'll be inhabited. 37, V'yoda Goyim, and the nations around, Asher Yishu, that live around you. Now, we're waiting for that, by the way. The neighbors in the Middle East still haven't recognized Hashem in all this. If they would only figure that out, that would solve all the problems. All the nations, Kani Hashem, Benisi Hanaharos. I am Hashem, and I am rebuilding these destroyed cities. Again, in Israel, it's constantly happening. They're rebuilding the ancient cities. Netatya Hashem, Ani Hashem, Dibarti Vasisi. And we continue on. Let's see here. He says the Ashkenazim continue, so we'll continue. Koamar is the Shul's Ashkenazim. Koamar Hashem Od Zos Edros Lebez Yisrael. And this is what Hashem says. It's at the bottom of 12:17. At the Zos, this is what I will do for the house of Israel. Arba Osam Kitzon Adam. Hashem said, I will multiply them. The future generations, you'll see there'll be more and more Jews, just like flocks. Apparently flocks, you know, they there's like an increase when you see hundreds of flocks, when you go out and you see, like, you know, have you ever watched Torah Day School, when they get out and you see all the kids? It's just such a nice feeling to see lots of little kids, or the Beth Jacob preschool, or the, you know, Hashem will multiply them like the flocks. Kitzon Kodshim, Kitzon Yushalayim. And these are holy flocks, just like the flocks of Manabba Moedah, Kain Tia Ha'arim Hakrevos. And just like these destroyed cities that were totally wiped out, they will be full of flocks of people. I'm not sure why it's called flocks of people. Why is that he calls it by sheepmen. That's a terrible translation. But it means that, though, just like you have lots of sheep, you'll see, like, you know, hundreds of people that, you know, when they have it on Chol HaMoed in the Kosel, they have certain days where they go and do a special. There's the idea that it's very powerful to be blessed by the Kohanim. And so what they do, they have a tradition, if you can get like a 100 Kohanim to bless the people, it's like very powerful. So certain days of Chol HaMoed, they have a Birkas Kohanim at the Kosel. And tens of thousands of people come. And it's an amazing feeling just to be there, and there's just Jews from as far away as you could see, all around, you know, coming from all directions. And I mean, in a certain way, it's like the flock of the flocks of sheep of the coming from. The Jewish people is always compared to a lamb amongst the 70 wolves, or a lamb. Lamb is like this
but
quiet.
Our leaders were shepherds.
What? And our leaders were shepherds, right? Right, right. That's right. And so that's the metaphor of the flocks of sheep. And the world will know that I am Hashem. And so then we're approaching this special season of getting ready for Pesach. We tend, there's so much physical work to get ready and get rid of the chametz, but a big component of that is the spiritual part of purifying ourselves and getting ready to get close to Hashem, and that's with the purification that comes with the Parshas part.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.